We're continuing our sermon series this morning on core values. And so if you missed it last week, you ought to get online and get that message. I think all the messages are up to date at this point on the website. I want to make a couple quick announcements, just a quick couple notes for us and so that you know. I was given the suggestion, and it was a good one, and so I took it and ran with it. In the back, there are, and this goes with last week's message, our core value. We want to be a church of the Word and take that responsibility seriously, that we be a studious people and that we take God's Word seriously. There is in the back a daily Bible reading program that is in the back. I like this one, so we did a little bit of research, and I like this one for a couple different reasons. Number one, it's 5 days, read through the Bible, but it gives you 2 days off a week. So if you're like me, and some days are busier than others, you have 5 days in a week, so basically Monday through Friday, or whatever works for your schedule. The other reason I like this particular one is it's done in some kind of chronological order, so that as you read through the Bible, you may be bouncing around from 1 Kings to different books, but it is written in a way that gives you some chronology of history as you go into particularly the Old Testament. And so if you are like me, you have a goal, and last year I fulfilled that goal, but I haven't started this year, and that is to read the Bible through every year. I'm going to do that using this year. And so generally, I just kind of go through Genesis 1 and work all the way through. I think I'll do it differently this year and follow this if I can. We're already a couple weeks behind. Do not panic. Do not panic. You can still get this done. Do a little catch up all throughout the year. I think we made 28, 29 copies of this. One was a mess up and we had 30. And this is one of them. So if this is something you want to do, and by the way, you ought to do it. You ought to do it. But the copies in the back, if we run out, and I hope we do, I hope we run out, we will make more copies and load them back up for next week. So if you want a copy, grab it. And I'm not going to put hands up here, but I hope that if you've never read through the Bible in a year, you ought to read the Bible. Well, the Old Testament, and it's not for us today. You know, God's Word says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so, if you have little faith today, it's maybe you just need to get in the book a little bit. And so, we want to make that possible for you. We may reference this throughout the year and just go, "Hey, is everybody reading there?" Their thing. So I won't ask, but I'm hoping that you make a commitment to reading God's Word this year. And as we said, we want to be a church that, as we said last week, and we'll look at it in just a moment again, but that we value God's Word, the Bible, as top priority, top core value. We're a church that values what God has to say. Well, you ought to be reading it. You ought to be reading it. And it's part of our responsibility is to teach you and to train you and to disciple you, absolutely. But you have your own responsibilities to study for yourself, and so we ought to do that this year. I'm going to go ahead and pray, and then we'll begin, and we'll start up. Are you ready? You ready to hear from the Lord today? I am, and I'm excited for this message. Lord, we just meet you in this place right now and ask that, God, that you would accomplish all that you've promised to accomplish. And, Lord, that you would do a work, mighty work in this place. That this year would be a banner year for this church. That you would accomplish tremendous, tremendous things. God, that this year would be a year where we really take seriously the basics and the core things. Lord, we begin to shore that up, do well in our responsibility in these five areas. I pray, God, that our church, not just corporately, not just as a body, but individually, that we'd take these core values seriously. And again, that today's message will be to the edifying of the body of Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Core values. I don't know if you have this from last week, Nate, but a little thing that describes the core values, Bible, God's Word. If you have that, you could pull it up. And I'm going to read it from last week. Bible, here are our core values. The Bible, we value God's Word as a catalyst for transformative change. What is it in the world that God is using to change the world? What is the thing that God left here on this planet we call Earth, our home? What is it that God has placed here in order to change and impact lives? God's Word. That's it. And so we value it as a catalyst, as the thing, the spark that changes, transformatively changes lives. Absolutely, we take this seriously. We ought to, and you ought to take it seriously. At home, we value today, and we'll look at today, prayer. We value that passionate prayer as essential to everything that we do. Prayer. So the extent to which the Bible is, it's not the only way, but it's the primary way that God speaks to us. Right? I mean, the Holy Spirit certainly convicts us, and the Holy Spirit may tell us something or speak into us something that comes alongside what God's Word's already said. To the extent to which God's Word is the operative thing speaking to us, we also have a responsibility to speak to God. And so these two things, this is relationship. God speaks to us through His Word. And we have relationship with God and able to communicate with God in some fashion or another. And we value that if we're going to be a successful church, a successful Christian, an individual that is successful in his walk with God, you both need God's Word as a discipline in your life and the ability to speak to God through prayer. And we believe that passionate prayer is essential to everything we do, equipping. We value godly stewardship of our spiritual gifts. We value godly stewardship of the gifts that God's entrusted to us. Next week, we're going to look at that over the next 2 weeks, as a matter of fact. The gospel, we value sharing the gospel as central to our calling. We value, really going to do some things this year I'm excited about to equip you, to share your faith. Not to share your testimony, and that's good and you ought to, but to share the gospel. You ought to. Your testimony isn't a replacement for the gospel. You ought to share your faith with the gospel. We're going to equip you this year to do that. We value sharing the gospel central to everything God's called us to do. It's the Great Commission. And then connection. And we value the building of strong family relationships. Both your family, your immediate family, the relationship that you have with your kids, the relationship that you have with your spouse. We value building that, making that strong. We also value the church family. And we value that we ought to have good relationships to one another. That's central to a healthy church, is that we love one another, that we care for one another. And so we value building strong family relationships, both your immediate family and church family. And so these are our core values. This is the distillation of, we think, basically everything. Out of these things comes all the programs that we do, everything that we want to do and put money behind and comes out of these value statements. So today, we're going to look at God's Word. I want to invite you, if I can, to James, a familiar passage, James chapter 5. Excuse me. James chapter 5, verse 16. It's a passage that we're all familiar with. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. I love that verse. How many are familiar with that passage? Everybody here should be familiar with this wonderful passage. And we're going to look at this morning. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. This passage is a wonderful passage. You ought to study James. James in chapter 4 deals with prayer. Chapter 1, James deals with faith and prayer. This whole book of James is dealing predominantly about what the nature of faith is. And it isn't a coincidence that out of that comes a discussion of faith, prayer multiple times, to the extent to which prayer and faith are important elements that go together. Absolutely. So you got to study this book, and maybe we'll study it this year together. Every year we look at a New Testament book, and maybe we'll go through James this year. But as it relates to prayer this morning, this immediate passage, James chapter 5, deals with healing prayer, and you're familiar with it. If you're sick, go to the elders of the church, and they will come and lay hands on you and pray for you. And it's out of this context that we see this passage here. Confess your sins to one another, pray for one another. So we're going to look at this passage. I want to define some terms as we think about this idea that prayer is essential to everything that we do. Passionate prayer is essential to everything that we do. And so just some basic broad brushstrokes, and we've preached this before, and so just bear with me. But for those that need the refresher on prayer, prayer is, as I want to define it this morning, prayer is talking to God about what He and I are doing together. That basically is broad brushstroke idea of what prayer is. Prayer is talking to God about what He and I are doing together. I like that definition because it assumes immediately that one of the things that God wants to do is use me to accomplish things for Him. Everybody following me? Right. This is important to our discussion here as we talk about that passionate prayer is essential to everything that we do. Well, what we should be doing, at least a big part of the everything that we do, that we should be doing, is stuff that's God-oriented. Does that make sense? We should be our life should be oriented around all that God is doing as we try to live out the kingdom of God in our in the world that God has put around us, in our job, in our families, that we're trying to live out the kingdom of God in a vibrant way, doing things for, with, and through God's work in my life. I'm trying to accomplish things for God. And what prayer is the idea that I'm talking to God about the things that God wants to do in and through me and what God is accomplishing in through me. And we're talking about it because God is conspiring with us to change the world. Nothing smaller than that. God has left our church and the church here for a purpose, and that's to change the world. In fact, what He's commissioned us to do is to bring the kingdom of God to bear on this kingdom. And so that the church, the influence that the church has is to usher in the kingdom of God and all that God is doing so that there's no difference between the way God wants to do it and the way the world is doing it, because we've brought in effective, impactful change into the world, and prayer helps us to accomplish that. And we're talking to God about our responsibilities in that big picture. I'm spitting on Kelly. Is everybody following me? So that basically is big picture. What is prayer? What are we doing? Now, to pray means to ask. The old English term to pray means to ask. They would say commonly in old English, I pray thee that you will... Blah, 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 blah. They're praying to these people? No, they're just asking. And so as we accomplish things for God, we're asking of God things. You can't pray. Now, there are a lot of things that we do. We praise God. That's praise. As we, God's word says, with prayer and thanksgiving. So there's prayer and then there's thanksgiving. It's two different things. There's prayer and supplications, two different things. All those things we can do as we talk to God, big picture, what pray is, but you're not praying unless you're asking. You're asking God to work in you. You're asking God to work in your family. You're asking God to accomplish things in and through. You're asking God for things. You're asking. Asking is the rule of the kingdom. You have not because you ask not. And so as we enter into 2018, we're about to get into the past. We enter into 2018, what is my heartbeat for this church? Not only that we're a church that's Bible-centered, absolutely, but that we're also a praying church. And whatever God allows us to do that well, we want to do. But minimum, it means that you, as an individual, need to be a praying person. We don't have to have any church program for you to be serious about your relationship with God such that you are a praying kind of person. I mean, if there's a God, and we believe there is, amen, and he has a relationship with you such that he died for you and you've taken advantage of the death of Jesus on the cross such that you have a relationship with Jesus, why aren't you talking to him? What kind of relationship is it if you're not talking to the person with which you have relationship? I could tell you that my relationship with my wife was reminding me of this the other day. It was more when the kids were younger, but she would, when we were going to bed, she would find, and that's when I'm the most tired, consequently. That was when she would want to talk. But hey, I don't want to talk when I'm going to bed. I want to go to bed. That's indeed why I'm in bed. So, well, I just like to talk. As Kelly would always say, and she reminded me, remember when I used to say when we got into bed, this is a good time to talk, but you just are so tired. And now she's just succumbed to the reality that I'll probably fall asleep if our discussion time is going to be this. We had marital counseling about this idea, Carrie, that I would fall asleep when she was talking. No, we didn't. We needed it. The reality is that relationship where talking doesn't happen is a relationship not going anywhere really fast. Either we have relationship with Jesus or we don't. And if we do, we ought to be talking to God and God's going to talk to us. Primarily through his word, but we're having relationship. Let's dive in to this passage. I just want to pull out a few things here as we look at what are central elements of prayer that we want to, as a church, take seriously. Therefore, verse 16, confess your sins to one another. I just want to kind of hone in on that. What in the world does that mean? Well, and reminding you that this is a passage about if someone is sick, big picture, someone is sick. This has happened in our church multiple times in which the elder board has been called to pray for people, and we make sure that we make a point to point out to whoever has asked for prayer that the elder board is not perfect, not by a mile. This is just like perfect, but we're not like the spiritual gurus that are coming in to fix the problem. Absolutely not. We are frail, and a reminder of that is that the elder board quite often messes up individually, as you would expect. A reminder of that is that oftentimes, if we were to go through the exercise of saying, listen, I've got sin issues. I've got sin problems. And what that does is it brings us back to the reality that I'm not the real answer here. The elder board is not the answer. The answer is, I'm humble. I don't have anything to offer. I'm sinful. And so this discipline of confessing our sins to one another brings us out of ourselves and onto God's mercy. We're just stewards of all that God wants us to do, but we're not perfect stewards, not by a mile. We've got sin issues. This is God's thing. And so there's a humility when you enter into prayer that the prayer is not because of you, that we are thrust upon the mercy of God when we pray. And that it is all God and His work and not of my righteousness that anything gets accomplished. Confessing our sins to one another puts us smack dab into humility. Are you following that? I think that's why this is a good and proper discipline, at least as a reminder that prayer is not because of anything that we've accomplished, but prayer and confession reminds us that it's all a God thing. Does that make sense this morning? Everybody following that? Which will confess your sins one another. So humility is an important starting point to prayer. You got it? Humility, an important starting point to prayer. The extent to which you get your prayers answered is not because of your righteousness, but because of God's righteousness. Because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, not because of you. Oh, I'm so good, I'm so holy, and when I pray, a lot of stuff gets done. Your righteousness and your holiness aren't the key ingredient here. The key ingredient is Jesus, the work on the cross. And so humility, number one. Number two, and pray for one another that you may be healed. And I just want to kind of pull this big picture out, that prayer is, to some big extent, other-centered. Other-centered. Praying for one another. Praying for others. You ought to pray for yourself. We're going to talk about this in a little while. But prayer is others-centered. It's actually God-centered, but I'm saying who we pray for. So pray for one another. I would just simply ask you what we talked about last week. How often are you praying for your church family, your immediate family, in your prayer life? Is that something that you're doing often? You pray for one another. And then God's word says this: the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The effective prayer, I think the King James, if I'm not mistaken, says the effectual prayer. Is that right? The effectual prayer of a righteous man can get a whole lot done. Let's make some big picture observations here. Let's make some big picture observations. Number one, the idea, if you're coming into your prayer life and believing that it doesn't actually impact anything, to me, my opinion, that's silly. Why in the world would you pray with any passion and with any effectualness, with any fervor? Why would you pray if you didn't think that your prayer actually gets the ear of God in some way, and that God in some way, and we don't understand it, but that impacts reality in some way? Why would you pray? And so we're coming into prayer absolutely believing that our prayer changes things. And if you don't believe that, this is not a criticism or anything against you, but you have to you have to take what God's word says and say, well, how do I deal with this passage? If you don't believe that your prayer is changing anything, what do you do with this? Your prayer absolutely changes things. Or I should say, your prayer absolutely can change things. I happen to believe that in this discussion, in the book of James, it is prayer and faith, but not even going into that. That if you're not praying, there are things that are happening. There are, I believe 100%, James 5, that there are people that are sick, that because people aren't praying for them with adequate faith, that those people are still sick. I believe that 100% because God's word says it. Now, I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know how God does it, I'm not responsible to know when and how. All I know is I'm responsible to do. And leave the rest up to God, because God's sovereign. But I just be responsible to pray. Praying actually absolutely makes a difference. And the righteous man. So with the prayer, yeah, prayer makes a difference. But there's a caveat here that's in it. The effective prayer of a, say it with me, righteous man. Not just pray. I mean, if you believe that you can live however you want and come over here to the faucet that we call prayer and turn it on and it do something, you don't understand prayer. If you think that prayer is just sort of a Santa Claus sort of, can I sit on your lap and ask for things? And that the benevolent Santa Claus is just going to put that on you misunderstand what prayer is like. Prayer is not a faucet that you go to and turn it on and can just live however you want to and turn on the faucet and get results. That's not how it works. There's a cultivating of relationship with God that God uses so that, again, that's talking to God about what he and I are doing together, so that as I walk closer to God and I'm things are happening because my heart's attuned with what God is wanting. Does that make sense? And so as my heart tunes in to what God is doing, things seem to happen better. But the idea that you could just, again, live the way that you want to and get results in prayer like a cosmic Santa Claus, just not the way it works. The effective prayer of a righteous man or woman, the effective prayer of a righteous person, it's the prayer and it's both the thing and the person doing the thing. It's the prayer and the prayer that get together and accomplish things. Excuse me. It's the effective prayer of a righteous man. What does it mean to be a righteous man? And I just want to make a couple observations. Jesus, we said this before, but Jesus is the mediator from myself to the Father. So in other words, Jesus is the bridge. I want to talk to God. I want to have relationship with God, and I'm going to pray, and I do so, and God's word says that we ought to pray in Jesus' name, right? So what in the world does that mean? That means that we're doing it with the authority through Jesus. There's no way around it. This works true of both our reconciliation to the Father and our supplication to the Father. It works with our salvation and our prayer. There is no way to get to God apart from Jesus. And there's no way to pray to God apart from doing it in Jesus' name. Now, you don't have to say the words like a neat little tagline like love. Like when you write a letter to your wife, as often as I do that, right? Love Jesse. That's not what we're doing when we pray and say in Jesus' name. It's like a polite little way to end a prayer. You don't have to say it, but you do have to understand it, and your heartbeat has to be, this is with the authority and in Jesus' name, because Jesus has given me the capacity to talk to the Father. And if it weren't through Jesus, it ain't gonna happen. So we're praying to the Father in Jesus' name. This is really Christianity 101. We're praying to the Father in Jesus. Listen, there isn't a prayer that's ever been uttered that stands a chance of getting heard by the Father apart from Jesus. And so what does that mean? That means, well, it's effective prayer of a righteous. Well, the beginning point is that if you're righteous, you've got a relationship with Jesus. Jesus is mediating for you such that when I talk to God, something's happening because Jesus is the delivery system to the Father. And there aren't prayers that go up. Listen, you pray to Muhammad and you pray, God's not hearing that. That's just not happening. The only way to the Father is through Jesus. And so we pray not because it's polite to say in Jesus' name. We do it because that's the way it works. We're confessing our need of Jesus and saying, God, all that I just said over the last 10 minutes in my prayer, I do that because I believe that that Jesus is mediating for me and delivering this to the Father, and it's through him and him alone and his righteousness, not my goodness, but his righteousness. That basically is what happens. So the righteous man, first and foremost, what we're talking about is that we're praying through Jesus. There's no hope that your prayers get to the Father apart from Jesus. Is that crystal clear enough? So we absolutely make sense. You don't have to say the words, but you must mean it. I mean, you must understand what is happening here. This is big deal. This is a big deal. We ought to teach our kids to pray in Jesus' name. Not because that's a polite thing to do, I must reiterate, but because that's the way it works. He's our mediator. He's the mediator between God and man, Book of Hebrews. I want to just turn. You don't have to turn there with me. But I want to look at John 14:13, just very quickly. John 14:13. John 14:13 says this, whatever you ask in my name, Jesus speaking, that will I do so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 14:13, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. As a church, as an individual, what are we praying for? Because God's word just said that whatever you ask in my name, and whatever is a pretty big term. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Well, there's no qualifier before whatever, but I believe there are plenty of qualifiers after. There are plenty of qualifications to this statement. But whatever is a big statement, is it not? Whatever you ask in my name, notice that word ask again. Ask. What do we need to be? We need to be an asking people. Why? Because we're needy. If we had it all, then we would have no need of God. We don't have it all. We're children that need the Father to guide us and to be with us and to provide. So whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. What is the qualifiers here? Well, number one, what we just said, that we're asking, but we're doing it in Jesus' name. So whatever we ask for needs to be a kind of asking that in Jesus' name that works. So if I'm praying, for example, so many things that you could pray for that just don't match up with the in Jesus. God, will you punish this? God, will you make that person sick so that they can... Can you imagine this kind of prayer? So that they can understand what it is to be sick and maybe they'll come and repent. Or God, could you... How many prayers can you imagine? It's millions of prayers that the whole in Jesus' name thing that you could pray it. And then you say, when I pray that in Jesus' name, it just doesn't work. So the first qualifier is it's in Jesus' name. And I think that it builds on that. Whatever you do, that will I do. So that the Father, notice this, so that the Father may be glorified. Whatever it is that we're doing when we pray, our main goal is that God is glorified. Is this making sense to anybody? So that now that right there takes a whole bunch of prayers out of the equation. But assuming that our prayers are God-centered prayers, assuming that that's true, assuming that the heartbeat of our prayer is to glorify God with what we're asking for, assuming that the heartbeat of our prayer is around and surrounding on Jesus, assuming that that's true, there's a whole lot that God will answer. Whatever you ask in my name, prayer, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Prayer should be, listen, this is important, and this brings it together. Prayer should be radically God-exalting. Prayer should be radically God-exalting. So that what we're asking God radically, in some ways, exalt and glorify God and Jesus. And if that's the heartbeat of your prayer, then this prayer, that this idea that whatever you ask and that will I do, there's going to be a lot done in this church, for the community, for your family. There's going to be a lot of prayers that happen this year in 2018 that radically change things for the better in glorifying God if your prayers are radically God-exalting prayers. If that happens, we are about to have... If our church takes that seriously and begins to pray and ask for God to do things and accomplish things in our church that glorify God, that get the job done, that get out into the community, and we start to accomplish great things. We're a praying people, and we want to exalt God through our prayers and all that we're asking God, then this church is about to experience a tremendous year where God's going to accomplish a lot of great things. I believe that I believe that. I just wish I could go to your home and shake you a little bit and say, pray tonight. Do something tonight. Pray. Exalt Jesus. Ask for something. Ask for God to work in your life to change you. Ask for God to work in your neighbor's life to change them, to give you opportunities to be salt and light to them. Ask for God to change our kids in our church, to get a hold of them on Wednesday night when the word is being preached to them, that they hear what God is saying to them. Pray that God changes lives. If you do that and believe that God is exalted by that and God will get glory from it, and you really pray, do you believe that God won't answer that kind of prayer? Of course God will answer that prayer. Because God is glorified every time one of our children come to Jesus. God is glorified when you get to be better salt and light to your neighbor. God is glorified when your marriage improves. God is glorified. Pray for it. Take it seriously. It's the effectual, effective prayer of the righteous man that gets a lot done. We're not praying. I'm absolutely convinced of this, that at the core of our, of whatever, is that we, can you take this in love? Listen, I love you. I love you as my church family, but I have to tell you that the extent to which, because it's been levied, well, we're not growing. Things aren't happening. Listen, we can lay that one right smack dab at the foot of, we aren't praying like we should. Simple as that. No excuse making. And that's our fault for not encouraging it, for not modeling it, whatever. There's some blame there. Okay. But we need to be a church that at your home, at night, you take this thing seriously and you pray. You pray for your family. You pray for our church family. You pray for our community and you ask God to accomplish something in 2018 in and through you. And you pray and you pray and you beg God. You beg God for God to accomplish something, and God will. God is not slack according to his promises. If you ask, you will receive. What's the problem? You're not asking. Now, do you receive that? I don't know how we do that corporately better, but I know one thing, that corporate's good and we need to do that, but your prayer closet's even better. So prayer in school, prayer in school. I'm not opposed to prayer in school, but the reason why our culture is the way it is not because prayer is not being done in school. It's because prayer is not being done at home. It's not being done where it counts, where you can beg God and beseech God and ask God for things and be righteous and grow your relationship with Jesus and beg God for things. And I believe that if we do that, man, if everybody in this room, I believe it. I don't know how else to say it. Please believe with me that if everybody, because I believe this, if everybody in this room prays like what we're talking about this morning, then this church does not look the same this time next year. That I can tell you. I believe that with all of my heart. And if you're saying, this morning, I hear it, that's good, good pep talk, I'll try to make this a serious part of my life, then listen, you're lost. You know, if you're not going to take this seriously, now, I can't control what your neighbor's thinking, because maybe your neighbor's thinking that, but you can control the dedication that you have to pray for this church. God knows we need prayer warriors. Why? Because we want to glorify God. We want to glorify, that the Father may be glorified. This is basically what Jesus says in Matthew, right? How should we pray? You should pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God is holy. We want to glorify God. The beginning of everything that we're doing is saying, God, you're holy. You're holy. We want to glorify God. We want to glorify God. So this is Lord's Prayer. This is the heartbeat of the Lord's Prayer. God, we want to glorify God. This church needs to be a church that glorifies God. How does that happen? More people get saved because of this church. More people hear the word because of this church. More people become disciples of Jesus because of this church. More we break into the walls that the enemy has set up out here. People chained in false religion. People chained in sin. That we are catalysts for changing the culture out here. That's how God uses this church to glorify his name. That we do the job, and the way that's done is we got to pray. We got to be righteous men and women that are dedicated to knowing that prayer changes everything. We got to take this thing seriously in 2018. We have got to take this seriously. We got big plans. I'm so excited about 2018. I don't think I've ever seen ministry as clear and sort of what I feel like we need to do as a body of believers. I don't think that I've seen that picture as clearly as I see it now. But listen, the whole thing doesn't work unless we're praying. And so I don't know if that means we need to get together as create ways that you get together with other people in our church and you meet once a week. You can meet here. We can open up the doors here at 6 a.m. before you go to work. We could turn some lights on in here and just give you a place to pray. I don't know what we need to do. We need to be praying together. One of the sweetest times in our ministry is a church plant and at one point 10 people. I mean, you know, we're struggling. And I'll never forget, we'd meet with the Campbells. We'd meet with the Campbells. We'd meet at our house every Thursday night. And we'd pray. We'd talk for 20. We prayed for an hour. And we just begged God. God, accomplish something. We did that. We did that for months and months and months. And you know what happened? God started doing some things. We're just begging you, accomplish something in our church plant today. And God started to do things. We just prayed, God, we just need to meet. We just fasted. We fasted together. Maybe God's calling some of you to connect with your friends in your church and just connect with them and say, hey, let's get together. We don't need to do, we don't necessarily need to eat together. Let's pray together. Maybe God's calling you to pray with some people. Open up your home, say, we'll make some coffee and we'll pull a 2-hour prayer time together. Let's just beg God that God accomplish some things. There's a couple families do that. I believe God's going to start doing some things. Oh, I'm about to start toe-stepping. I can feel it. Some of you families that, do you mind, again, I'm going to caveat it, so you give me an out here, give me an out. Can I love you enough to tell you something? Give me an out. Some of you good folks that are retired and God bless you, you're retired, you have a little bit more time than you used to, you ought to be praying more than you used to. We need you now more than ever. Well, I can't go out and serve like I used to. Boy, you've got a bigger task ahead of you. You got something that you got time, and you can be praying for people. You can be beseeching God for this church. You can be connecting with people and making prayer happen. How about this? How about model how you pray with somebody else? Invite them to your house. Say, let's just pray for an hour. Show them how it happens. One of the great things in my life in California, I met with, it was probably 6-7 youth pastors, Kelly will remember, and Greg Gilnett, Joe Lugo, some godly guys. We met once a week, and that was 2-3 hours. I mean, I'm no kidding. We would pray, and it would be out, and these guys, and I'd never prayed anything like what I saw, and I'm watching the same. This is not how I pray. I'm watching them pray and just they're modeling for me. They didn't know it. But I'm telling you, they could get a hold of God. They could, shake the pillars of heaven and things happen. I'm seeing this. So, man, I need more of this. Some of you people that know how to pray, why don't you model that this year for others? And we don't need corporate programs to do that. You can knock, you can call somebody and say, hey, can we as a family get together and pray? Our children's workers could be getting together praying for people throughout the week. Your retired folks can be getting together praying. You can invite yourself to some of the younger families and say, hey, let's pray together. I just feel led to pray together. So it doesn't have to be a corporate program. Just pray. Let me leave you some, I'm gone longer than I wanted to this morning. Let me give you a couple practical things, very practical, on top of all what I just said. Is anybody mad at me? I hope you're not mad at me this morning. You know, I love this church and I want God to do something here. And I'm convinced that that will not, capital N, capital O, capital T, will not happen unless we change the way we view prayer and the way we are disciplined in this critical area. Will not happen. We can plan and we can have programs and we can go out and do things out in the community, but we will not see the hand of God in this church unless we are praying. I can't say it any clearer. Practical thing number one. Pick a time and a place that you can commit to and pray. You will not pray unless you plan to pray. I've been doing this long enough to know with absolute clarity that what I'm telling you is absolutely true. Unless you plan to do it, you will not do it. And the thing is, what gets in people's way in prayer, at least in my experience, 90% of the time, is not sin. In fact, it could be good things. You could be called to do something very, very good, and you're spending time with your family. Certainly that's good. There are a lot of things that can stop you from praying that aren't bad. What stops you from praying is a plan to pray. You ought to, today, if you're not praying, you ought to go home today, pray, and say, God, show me and help me to see a time that I can be consistent in prayer. And even if that means, and this is what I would encourage, say, well, I'm really busy, or at night I'm really tired, wake up early. You stand before God one day and say, I was really too tired to pray. That will not hold water. You wouldn't dare say that before the God of the universe. There is zero. Now I feel like I'm stepping on toes again. It is what it is. There is zero excuse, zero, for you not getting up 10 minutes earlier to make God a priority. You just need to make a time, pick a place, make it holy, make it do it. Make it a habit. Make it a discipline. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Do you receive that? Number two, you ought to tie prayer with some Bible study. By the way, these are not legalisms in the sense that you should not do these things and then feel guilty when that one time happens. This is not righteousness. This is just you being disciplined to do something in the same way that it's exercised. Listen, this is not a rule. This is not a law. This is not a mandate. But it's not any more than if you go into battle and you're in the military that it's a rule and a legalistic rule for you to clean your rifle and make sure that the barrel is clean. Oh, that's a legalism. They shouldn't be made to have to clean their rifles. Well, okay, but if you're a good soldier, you ought to do this. That's no difference. If you want to be effective in the kingdom, then you ought to be prepared. And if you're going to be prepared, you ought to have a plan. So you ought to read your Bible and make that part of it, and then your prayer can come out of what you you're reading that day in the Bible. Does that make sense? So you allow God's word to give you direction on how to pray for that day. So you got to pray, you got to pick a time, you got to pick a place, you got to pray. We're not making a new legalism here. We're just saying you ought to be a good soldier, you ought to be prepared, you ought to do it. And you ought to, it would be helpful if, number two, that you take God's word and you use that as part of your time with God. Oh, number two, let's see here. Number three, and this is it, and we're done. Because I feel like God has a lot on my heart here, so you'll have to receive a lot today. And you may have to hear this message again this week to process all that's been said today. But number three, you ought to pray in concentric circles. You ought to pray either out or in. You ought to be praying for, if you're working out, you ought to pray for yourself because you know your own sin. You know your own issues. You ought to be praying that God convict you, that God change you, that the Holy Spirit of God comes into your life and does a transformative work in your life. You ought to be open to all that the Holy Spirit has to change you. You ought to be ask God to show you what it is that you need to work on. So you got to start with yourself, I think. And then you ought to pray for your, then the circle gets bigger. You ought to pray for your family. Oh, God, help my children to be godly people. You ought to be praying for your family and your wife, your husband. You ought to pray for yourself. You ought to pray for, then you ought to pray for your church family. Do you believe that? Absolutely, you should be praying for your church family. If you're not praying for your church family, you don't love your church family. It's just that simple. I don't see it any other way. If you can't discipline yourself to care enough for your church family to pray for them, then you got a problem that's bigger than this message. You got to be praying for your church family. You got to pray for yourself. You got to pray for your family. You got to pray for your church family. You got to pray for your community. You got to pray for our government. So you see how the circle goes? My heavens, people start their prayer, or people say, God, I pray for the whole world. Well, what in the world? You pray for the whole world. Start with praying for yourself. Pray that God changes you. Pray that God changes your family. Pray for the stuff that you can impact the most. So that God uses you to do that and then break out from there. Is everybody hearing me this morning? Do you understand? Pray in concentric circles. This morning, I don't know God. I've said a lot. I've talked a lot. I've absolutely gone over anything I'm ever comfortable with preaching. God's wanting to teach us a lot. There is no question about it. God is calling us to something big in 2018, and God is calling us to change the way that we pray. I'm convinced of this. And if you have ears to hear all that God is calling us to do today. And don't be just a hearer of the word, God forbid, but that you'd be a doer of the word. Find a time and a place. Pray in time and place. Pray with God's word as a guide and pray in concentric circles today. I would ask that whatever the Holy Spirit's asking of you right now, that you would make real commitments. That you'd make real commitments today.